It's time for the Power Hour of Love, starring Charboil and
El Bandito. Welcome to the fiesta.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Power Hour of Love with Charboil and
El Bandito.
You're listening here on podunkradio.com. It's Thursday night at 10 p.m. and we're part of the new Geek Block here on podunkradio.com on Thursdays, right after our sister show, Underground Horror Radio. Hey El Bandito, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I had a fairly good week. A lot of exciting things going on. A lot of great movies coming out in the theaters, and a lot of great events happened this week.
Yeah, it's definitely been an exciting time. You know, we're nearing the end of summer here. You know, at least from the usual, you know, school sessions and such like that. I think summer actually runs into sometime in September. Correct?
I'm not so good with the solstice things and stuff like that, but yeah, I think it runs till. Sometime on the Ides, maybe just after the teens or something.
Definitely, man. Like you'd mentioned, you know, lots of good stuff going on, lots of movies coming out. You know, it's hard to keep up a lot of times with everything that just comes out every week in the summer.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up, but it's nice. You know, it keeps the summers exciting. They keep them moving fast, but it certainly makes them seem almost too short, you know?
Absolutely, man. Well, what do we got right now in the theaters? It looks like that the Suicide Squad just released last weekend.
Yeah, that just came out last weekend. You know, they had a kind of opening showing thing on. They're doing this on Thursdays a lot of the times now.
So. Yeah. I mean, one way I do, you know, I remember like back when like the Lord of the Rings and stuff like that came out and being there at like midnight and stuff and going, but yeah, now it's at like, what, like 7 o'clock in the evening?
Yeah. Showing these, it's so. Like premieres that start on Thursday. And I love the way they're like, oh, we have the best box office in the history of action movies. And you're like, but yeah, you added a whole extra day to your box office.
Yeah, it is kind of an unfair, you know.
Statistic, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man. When it comes to statistics, though, so far from what I've heard, the Suicide Squad hasn't been faring so well when it comes, at least from the critics.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not been doing so good. And, you know, I have to say, I know you were the person that introduced me to the Suicide Squad.
Like, oh, yes.
I had no idea who they were. I'd never heard of it or anything like that. I've always been more of a Marvel reader and things. But you introduced me to it, and then, you know, we saw it on the old Justice League cartoon. And,
yes.
You know, different things like that over the years. And I started picking up the comics from it. And most recently, I was reading the new 52 version of Suicide Squad. I always really enjoy it. You know, I always thought it was really good. And I don't know. I haven't been to see the new movie yet, but I look at the posters and the trailers from it, and I do not understand the direction they're going with this movie at all.
I think it is kind of confusing. I mean, honestly, like some of the costumes and stuff I did like, not, you know, barring Harley Quinn, I would have liked the more traditional, you know, jumpsuit.
I'm all for the sexifications of women's, but there's a limit to where you have prostitutes in your movie now.
Now, I did hear that I guess the jumpsuit does make an appearance, but she never actually wears it. So I don't know how that fits in. But either way, like, you know, I thought it was very, like, kind of cool that they were going to try to bring in, like, Killer Croc and, you know, a couple of the other more traditional members of the
Suicide. Deadshot is there. That's good. You know, I mean, to me, he's kind of like always the leader of Suicide Squad that I remember or.
Well, I know Rick Flagg does actually appear in the movie. I don't know if he survives or whatever. But he was, you know, well, a quick history on Suicide Squad. Like back in like the 1960s, Rick Flagg's father kind of ran a Suicide Squad, which was just like, it was like an army book. You know, so they did like these, you know, it was like an army comic and like, you know, they'd go on those missions, you know, the covert op and stuff like that. So then in like the 80s, when they brought back the concept and introduced more of the, what we know the Suicide Squad is now, is where they, you know, get the villains to do these, you know, pretty much death missions.
Yeah.
Well, Rick Flagg's son, you know, he joined, you know, he was the leader. So he's not a criminal. Like he's a guy that's, you know, pretty straight edge, and he's supposed to be kind of keeping the criminals in line. And yeah, Deadshot was definitely on the original team. So was Bronze Tiger. And Enchantress was actually on the original team in the 80s, too. So
that's good, because she's in the new team now. And
exactly.
So you're refreshing my history on that, because my history only goes so far as to always seeing Deadshot in the lead role there.
Yeah, and he eventually... You know what's funny is, in the comics, Deadshot actually... He had done enough missions with him that he could get out of Belle Reve and, like, and just, go. But he was like, I like this.
Yeah, he gets to kill people for free now. So.
Exactly. So it was kind of funny. So, yeah, him and Bronze Tiger did end up taking, come to think of it, hopefully it's not too much of a spoiler, but, yeah, I think in the comics, I think Rick Flag did get blown up, or, he kind of did something where it was pretty much like he was sacrificing himself for the team because they'd become... kind of so close, but
so that's where they get the suicide part of it.
Yeah, well, they do have bombs in the old comics. They were just like little neck things that they wore,
that would blow your head off if you went off mission,
And I know in the original comic too, that's how the character Slipknot did. He was like, "Well, screw this!" As soon as they got outside, he ran away thinking he could just get away, and pretty much blew him up. But getting back to the movie, not so much on the classic stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so far it's looking like it's not being so well received by critics. Mm-hmm. From what I've seen online, a lot of the comic book folks that I know personally are more like, hey, there's good things, there's bad things, but nobody's like praising it. So
you mentioned about the costumes in it, that you're kind of cool, you're okay with the costumes in the movie and all, Me, on the other hand, I'm not so super thrilled. I mean, I like the way Deadshot looks. That looks good.
He looks great.
But pretty much everyone else looks like they're dressed by either like the Irish mob or they just bought their outfit at Hot Topic. I think that's kind of really weird. But also, too, there's an interesting point about the costuming in the movie that I think we should bring up. And it's the fact that when you go to Hot Topic or something now, they have outfits that are very similar to what Harley Quinn wears in the movie that are being sold as regular clothes.
Yeah.
Her costume in the movie is, I guess, her regular clothes, but I haven't seen it yet. I still associate it with a costume. That's something she wears to go and do villainy, So to think that, cosplayers like to dress up when they go to a con or something like that, but now they're selling this clothes for you to just wear every day, that seems like kind of a cool threshold that we're breaking.
Because
before you know it, we'll be able to just wear Superman costumes to work, and that's kind of exciting. But at the same time, we're kind of breaking it in the worst way possible, because Hot Topic's target audience, let's face it, isn't really like professional women in their 30s. It's more like 15-year-old girls.
Yeah.
And I really don't want them dressing up like Harley Quinn, because, at least not from this movie, and just on the day-to-day, because I think that's going to run into El Bandito a lot of trouble.
Well, definitely El Bandito. You'll have to definitely be checking some IDs. But, I totally hear what you're saying, and it is kind of cool that it is kind of breaking into that where, more flashy kind of, comic book inspired costumes are becoming the norm. But
yeah, they're just becoming clothes.
But definitely, man, what's funny is there's another aspect of the release of Suicide Squad that I think you find really interesting. Well, the director was recently at a premiere, and somebody yelled out something relating to Marvel. I don't know if it was like, "Oh, DC sucks" or something like that. But the director responded with, "Fuck Marvel," and that's the direct quote.
Okay.
Is what he said. And of course, the day after, his publicist was like, "Oh, he was, he's having a rough night or something like that."
That does not represent the views of Warner Brothers, whatever they were saying to cover their butts.
Absolutely, but we've got a track here from Stan Lee's response, Stan Lee of Marvel.
Okay.
And I think we should play it for the listeners here.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. Let's see what Stan the Man has to say.
When a couple of guys are angry at each other and they're yelling and they're arguing, sooner or later, one of them is going to say, F you. And the other guy gets mad and he goes, "Oh, yeah, well, F you too." This is brilliant dialogue. Why is F.U. considered an insult? It's the most exotic, exquisite experience you can have. If somebody says F.U. to me, I feel like saying, "Thank you, thank you for wishing such a wonderful thing to me. And it's time you started thinking about things like that. Don't take stuff for granted. Oh, how you get along day after day without me explaining things, I never will know.
You know, what a great follow-up response to someone just being angry, obviously, that, you know, there's a product that's a little, well, I didn't say a little, that's, you know, so far better than what you're producing. And, I mean, it's all opinion. I mean, some people like this, some people like that. But, man, you know, to think that, you know, someone else, maybe younger and, you know, could have fired back, you know, and, oh, well, screw you guys, too, or whatever. But for Stan to just be like, nah, man, like, that makes me happy.
Oh, absolutely. It's one thing for Stan the Man to be like, oh, yeah, tell me to go fuck myself all day long. With all his fame and success, what does he care? And he's absolutely right. You know, in a lot of ways, you know, when someone tells you, hey, fuck you, my man, that's always, it's well wishing upon another person. So, you know, all I can do is I can say, Senor Boyle, fuck you, my friend.
Well, fuck you too. And we should play that CeeLo Green song right now. Well, fuck you. I mean, that's a good song, you know?
That like is a good song. That is a good song. And fuck you to all you beautiful listeners.
You know, in the ways of Stan, that's a compliment.
Yeah. You know, so we're just complimenting all of you beautiful people, you know? And, you know, I get it. I get the Suicide Squad guy being like, you know, the director. I don't know his name. I apologize.
David Ayer, I believe.
Ayer. We'll play that clip too. But, yeah, you know, I understand him being like, you know, maybe he tried to have an opportunity to direct one of their movies and got shot down. I don't know. I don't know the story behind that. But, you know, I understand the sentiment, that kind of jovial rivalry between the two,
sure,
you know. And
sure.
I have seen interviews with Stan Lee before where he talks about, you know, meeting with writers and things from DC Comics and them just being friends back in the day.
Oh, yeah. They'd go have coffee. Ideas. Yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, a lot of people, they like to joke about Deadpool and
Deathstroke,
yes, mm. being, you know, one is a ripoff, you know, Deadpool's a ripoff of Deathstroke and anything.
Sure.
And you're
sure.
like, you don't think that kind of homage style parody is absolutely embraced by the creator of Deathstroke. You'd have to be crazy.
Yeah. It's a compliment. Yeah. Don't they say that it's one of the biggest forms of flattery?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, them making, you know, $150 million opening weekend on a joke of your idea is probably a sour point, but the same token, at least your legend lives on, because Deathstroke is a great character.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? He's the best part of like season two of Arrow.
Oh, you know, and come to think of it, like as we mentioned Arrow, you know, think about that version of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
You know, like that was so good. And maybe a format like that would do so much better for them mm-hmm. to have like more time. Because, I mean, no matter what, even if the Suicide Squad movie's, mm-hmm. you know, 2 hours long, they get a good 45 minutes to an hour on each episode. And they've been at least on like 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah, so, I'm sure they have to waste a lot of time in the movie explaining what the Suicide Squad is and everything.
Yes, because it's more, yeah.
While I agree that doing it on a television program would give them more opportunity to tell a longer story, maybe like the Netflix Daredevil show is probably the best example of that.
Oh, yeah.
But I would have to say that personally, in my personal opinion, the number one best like media for telling the story of the Suicide Squad would be the comics, man. Go out and get them. Go and read them. They're usually a quick read. They have fantastic artwork, and that kind of hands-on artwork is mm-hmm. is classic. You know, it's been around for decades, and let's not let those, you know, paper printed materials that we can have disappear. You know, that's beautiful stuff, and let's support that industry as much as we support these movies that make hundreds of millions of dollars, and they sell 50,000 copies of a comic book. You know, there's a lot more comics out there, so it's hard to pick and choose the one, but go out and get your favorites, you know?
Oh, you know it, man. And with that being said, like we said, summer's coming to an end here, so I think we got a great track for our first musical break. Here we have The Vandals with their cover of Summer Lovin'.
Summer days drifted away to the summer.
Ooh, and there's a nice way to wrap up your summer with some Summer Lovin' by the Vendels.
Absolutely, El Bandito. That tracks off of their classic Fear of a Punk Planet.
That's a great title.
Absolutely, man. You know, and it's funny, you know, when you think of a movie and, you know, play like Grease,
mm-hmm.
you know, where that song originally comes from, and, you know, how the Vandals add their comedy to it and
yes.
apply it to their, you know, touring and, you know, many sexual escapades.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, El Bandito was raised by women's and, you know, he knows a lot about womanly things like this. But the original play for Grease is very sexually explicit.
Oh, yeah.
And most of it was toned down for the theatrical release. But like Grease Lightning, the song Grease
mm-hmm,
Lightning
mm-hmm.
is all about fucking chicks in your car.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
And
okay.
it's very dirty. And the whole thing was done with cellophane. Where they would talk about using, you know, that as like a condom and stuff like that.
Oh, gotcha. Some sort of a protector. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like a joke, but they completely cut all that from the movie. And John Travolta, who used to play Kanicki in the play,
mm-hmm.
he actually, he takes the saran wrap that they have there and he rubs it across his crotch at one point to kind of like homage the play and the original stuff on that. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. The Vandals aren't too far off here by like adding in all that, you know, they're like kind of breathing the original life back into the story. By adding in back all the sexuality to it.
Oh, that's pretty cool, man. I wasn't aware of that. You know, and you find that a lot with plays and
stage
musicals.
Productions,
they're a little more dirty than you mm-hmm. would have, you know, thought.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even like when you look at something like Sweeney Todd, I mean, that's a super ultra violent story and
mm-hmm.
you know the guy's killing people and they're making pies out of them. I mean it's pretty pretty dark in its own right.
Yeah,
but
it's the same thing like books. A lot of times you find darker material in books than in the feature films that they're based on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And it's the same thing that, you know, like they can just get away with more because it's more of a private audience that's smaller and, you know, more elitist, I
mm-hmm.
guess would be
mm-hmm.
a good word for that. So the play's the same way. Not everyone has the opportunity to go and see the play. So it really hits a very targeted audience. But yeah, you know, this great song by the Vandals. Really cool to kind of punk it up and, you know, have a little bit of fun with the summer. And like I said, add the sexual thrill back into that. So,
absolutely. You know. El Bandito, while we were taking that musical break, you had said that you had found a couple more clips by Stan Lee that you thought we should listen to.
Yeah, I just wanted to watch them because I saw it's attached to that original video there. So these are called Stan's Rants. You know?
Oh, okay.
So they have a whole like channel on YouTube. You should go check it out. It's it seems really fun. But yeah, I just looked at another one here, and you know, we're talking about sexualizing different things, and you know, I think Mr. Stan Lee is going to be right on point here talking about women's rights.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, you know, coming from one of the most sexualized industries out there.
comic books.
Yeah, comic books that totally over-sexualize things all the time, both men and women.
Absolutely.
It would be nice to hear what Stan the Man has to say about women's rights.
Okay.
I don't know about you, but I'm a big supporter of women's rights. I believe...
Oh, okay, no, that's enough of that. I didn't know that was going in that direction. I think we're fine without any of his feminazi... rantings there.
Oh, that's great, El Bandito.
Yeah, if anyone wants to call in and send us a message, you can reach us at powerhouroflove@gmail.com or hit us up on Facebook and tell us why you think women's rights are a huge waste of time. I'm just joking a little bit.
That, you know, it is funny, like how you mentioned, like that, you know, a lot of comics and stuff like that, you know, the characters are always, you know, so, you know,
overly sexualized.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad. What are they doing to poor Harley Quinn, man?
That is true, especially when, like you said, like when you look at the animated series and her original costume was her just in like that full jumpsuit. Like the only skin that was showing was her face.
Yeah.
And even half of that was covered up with a mask.
No, but what's funny is like the original outfit she had is overly sexualized. It's a skin tight uniform super sexy woman, and they somehow took that and made it like trampy.
Yeah,
you know. And I just feel, I mean, I'll have to see the movie, but it looks like it goes in such a different direction than anything we're used to. It really seems, I don't know, maybe I'll get banned for saying this later, but it seems like it has this 90s feel to it where everyone looks like they came out of the 90s and, you know, Harley Quinn is wearing just like the trampiest outfit. And, you know, I have so much love for that iconic character, you know, growing up with her and, you know, all that in the 90s. You know, I love Harley Quinn. Her personality, her devotion to love, you know, because she never gave up on the person she loved. And then, you know, in the new 52 Suicide Squad, they gave her more of a liberal attitude in the comics as far as loving people. You know, she kind of has a tryst with, you know, different people. And, sure. And it's just, I don't know. It breaks my heart because it's not true to the character that I have known for so many years.
Well, speaking of comic book adaptations, do you know that they just recently released the Killing Joke?
Oh,
it's an animated.
Oh, the animated series. I did see that. Yes, I haven't seen it, but I saw that it's been released now. Yes.
Yes, it's starring Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy. So the classic, Batman animated series. And I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but the girl who did Batgirl, you know, Barbara Gordon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so those, they all returned.
Okay.
And if you haven't heard about it yet, I don't know if I want to spoil a certain something for you, but something happens in that adaptation that has a lot of people up in arms.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, when you see it.
Is it Harley Quinn related?
No, Harley's okay. Not even, you know, it doesn't.
Okay, because I was going to say that kind of really predates her character in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
so.
No, it's honestly, it's probably one of the closest, like, animated adaptions mm-hmm. I've seen to the original story, but being that story was so short mm-hmm. that they had to add some additional storyline. It's a good story. Like, I mean, it's not that it's bad or so, but
did it have a 35-minute sequence of Commissioner Gordon going through the carousel ride or the Tunnel of Love?
I was going to say, man, like that
part was gruesome.
Dude, reading that was bad. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you read it in the college, but seeing it and actually hearing him like yell like Barbara's name just makes it so much more horrible.
Oh, I bet.
And
so chilling.
Yeah, the additional part is all the stuff in the beginning.
Okay.
And then it cuts to the actual Killing Joke story, which, but it all kind of flows together. It's not like it's like, oh, this is one story, this is another.
Yeah, kind of like Casino Royale. They added just like a half a movie in the beginning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes without spoiling anything, but the ending does remain the same.
Okay.
You know, and you are really left with that moment of like, did he kill him? Because that's the whole.
I was gonna say, so the Joker dies at the end.
Well, that's the whole thing with that story. Yeah. The Killing Joke is a lot of people believe at the very end when Batman's laughing that he's finally kind of broke over the edge and he kills the Joker. And
well, that's it's just Alan Moore, right? That wrote that one.
Yes.
I believe Alan Moore himself has said that yes, he wrote that with all intention that the Joker is dead at the end of that. But DC Comics was so opposed to it that they just ran their next story with the Joker and didn't even acknowledge it. But they say like the last few panels fade down to his feet mm-hmm. and the blood is kind of there in the water and everything. And that's supposed to symbolize that Batman broke his code. And
finally, even though Gordon told him not to, mm-hmm. he still does.
Yeah.
But absolutely, man, you know, very cool animated thing. It's funny how certain things don't always transition so well, and I wouldn't say this was perfect in any regards, but it was cool.
Okay.
You know, it wasn't something that's like, oh, you got to run out and see it right today. But when you get a chance,
I'll have to check it out. You know what else we should check out?
What's that?
Our next musical guest.
Well, coming up next, we've got a track from Green Jello, who are going to be here on August 13th. We'll tell you guys more about that in the events section. But here we have Green Jello with Orange Crunch.
In your sleep, I will hunt you down! Crunch! Bones! Rage!
Yeah.
And that was Orange Crunch by the immortal Green Jello.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, Green Jello, man. That was quite a video, too, on YouTube.
Yeah, I love the Orange Crunch monster, too. He's awesome, man.
Absolutely, man. You know, he just goes through that video causing all kinds of pandemonium.
Yeah,
and
just kicking ass.
Once again, another thing to Green Jello's use of claymation, which even though that video was only 2 years after the Three Little Pigs, you could see how things that advanced and how much more intricate those monsters were.
Yeah, yeah. I love the like lightning effects out of the one guy's hand there, and then they're shooting all the guns at the end.
yep. And you had actually spotted something really funny at the beginning of the video that you mentioned, El Bandito.
Oh, yeah, Bill Manspeaker lying in the bed there.
Yeah, with hair.
With hair.
Yeah, that was very cool. You know, you guys can watch that video and see Bill, but also you could see Bill live this Saturday at the Stillery for Green Jello.
That's August 13th, and it's going to be starting at 7 p.m.
Yep.
And it's only $12 at the door.
Absolutely. Also featuring the adventures of Dwayne and Brando coming down all the way from Flint, Michigan. We have Port St. Lucie's Nation of Decay, Stewart's The Ghetto Zombies, and West Palm Beach's Carol Stop Calling.
So it's a fun-filled, action-packed night of awesome rock, awesome
puppets,
and awesome video game music legends coming down to just rock the stage at the Stillery and bring the house down. So make sure to be there this Saturday.
And of course, we can't forget that we'll also be celebrating Podunk Radio's 5th anniversary.
We love you, Justin McPatches.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, speaking of Justin, you know, he recently made the announcement that Not For Air is coming to an end, but you know, definitely he'll be around, be around the studio, probably watching us a lot more closely.
And yes, we would like to make a big salute to the man behind Podunk Radio.
That was really cool, El Bandito, but, you know, I know Justin, like, doesn't want us eating up time just, you know, you know, saluting him and giving us. So let's tell our audience some more about the upcoming events we got. What's next after Green Jello?
Oh, you got it, senor. Well, we do have Green Jello this Saturday, and then shortly after that, on August 19th, Morbid Movies is back at it with another classic film they're bringing to the big screen. It's Jaws 2.
Jaws 2.
The Revenge.
Oh, wait, wait. Oh, be careful, El Bandito, man.
Oh, yeah?
Jaws 4 was actually titled The Revenge.
Oh, okay, okay. So this was Jaws 2. Richard Dreyfuss needed more money.
The yeah, definitely Jaws 2 came out in 1978, follow-up to 1975's hit Jaws. I would say that this one is always kind of like, you know, suffered from that thing where, okay, it's a sequel, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's a lot of different stuff going on in the story. So, I mean,
yeah.
it's a worthwhile sequel. Plus, it's morbid movies down at the movies at Lake Worth. They're always mm-hmm. putting together a fun night. You know, they make the custom buttons and they do a raffle. I heard that a lucky couple had gotten the tickets for Green Jello at the showing of the thing last month. So, and I've heard that their fall lineup for morbid movies is going to be completely insane. So everyone should go like them on Facebook and check out Jaws 2 on August 19th.
Yeah, exactly. Cause like you said, it is a sequel, and most sequels they get branded as being, you know, not as good as their predecessor or anything like that. But, you know, we were talking about it earlier. Jaws was originally written as like a romance novel.
Yes.
You know, and they took out most of that shit, put an awesome shark in there to murder everybody, you know. But they still had some elements of the original story in there. And Jaws 2 was really able to expand on what they had already done in the first one. So it's actually a better than average sort of sequel. And I say that having not seen it in 20 years, so I hope that lives up. Don't send me any emails.
Absolutely, Al Bandito. Well, following up the day after the showing of Jaws, on August 20th at Midtown Grill and Bar in Fort Pierce, we have Pathways. I don't know if you've heard about Pathways yet, El Bandito, but man, they are a very big up-and-coming band from South Florida. I believe they just were signed to a record label, and I mean, these guys are going to be going all over soon, but they're making a special stop here in Fort Pierce.
Awesome. Yeah, I've heard they've been tearing up the, you know, Southern Florida, just working their way up and building their way into hopefully what can be a nationwide audience for them.
Absolutely. And speaking of nations, our friends over at Nation of Decay, they're playing Green Jello, but then also they're going to be playing this Pathways show. So be two great opportunities to see Nation of Decay. Also playing that night is Venomous Fiction and Alloy. So you're going to have a great night full of some rock and local metal, plus, like we said, Pathways coming up from South Florida.
So it looks like you will have two exciting Saturdays in a row with amazing shows. I'm sure the drinks will be flowing and the women's will be beautiful. So make sure to be there. Now, before we get into our next musical break, we wanted to let all you beautiful people know about an exciting new product that we came across and we wanted to share with you.
Hey, El Bandito, what are you up to?
Well, Charbel, we have so many emails to send out for the Power Hour of Love here on Podunk Radio that I usually work on sending emails all day.
Have you heard about GMAS?
No, what is GMAS?
GMAS is a powerful mass email and marketing service for Gmail.
Really? Everyone uses Gmail nowadays. What else can GMAS do?
Use GMAS inside of Gmail to send marketing campaigns up to 10,000 people, and it even connects to Google Sheets.
Does it track when people open the email?
Yes, it does. Actually, it tracks openings and clicks through its reporting feature.
Wow, that sounds like the perfect thing for a business owner trying to manage his mass emails.
Speaking of which, companies such as Uber, Twitter, and LinkedIn are already using GMAS for their email campaigns.
Oh, man. Okay, you got to tell me where I can look that up.
Check out GMAS online at www.gmas.co, the ultimate solution for mass emailing through Gmail.
Well, everyone, make sure to go and check out GMAS sometime. But without further delay, let's get back to our next musical break. Senor Boyle, what's up next?
Looks like we have our next track here. It's actually inspired by the Pokemon Go phenomenon, but also has a good good message in it, too. This is Megaran and K. Murdoch with Go Save the World.
Tall and don't you worry, I will be. asinine. Another distraction to pass the time. What y'all forgot about black lives?
Black lives, huh? Black lives, black lives.
Then I realized it's quite clever when I walked the mile for the first time ever. Then I thought this could bring us together.
Together, together, together.
Then I saw a video from Chi-Town. Whole crowd singing Pokemon downtown. I think there's something in my eyes now. And come to woke brothers dropping think pieces. Like we don't know how far the world peace is. But here's the best kept secret. We need this.
Go and save the world. Don't you be afraid. Give it all you got. Go and play your game. Go and save the world. Don't you dare be scared. Stand up tall and don't you worry. I will be right there. Go and save the world. Don't you be afraid. Give it all you got. Go and play your game. Go and save the world. Don't you dare be scared.
They hop out in traffic to get a rare one. People crowd around like it's a fair one. The world needs love, go and share some. Now when I play my concerts, I ask fans to find monsters. They show them to me, I feel honored. I met a family and it stopped the day. They live about a block away. I would have never stopped to talk to them. Now we have a lot to say. Can't go anywhere without mine. Even dangerous hoods with chalk outlines. The geek have inherited the outside. Go play.
Go and save the world. Don't you be afraid. Give it all you got. Go and play your game. Go and save the world. Don't you dare be scared. Stand up tall and don't you worry. I will be right there.
All I see is I hate Pokemon Go posts. Internet bullies sounding like some old folks. Like, we don't support y'all. When you blab all day about politics, memes, and sports balls. Heard a couple kids drown this week. And a dude found a dead body down the street. And I was on my cousin's block. Almost had an accident because a dude made a sudden stop. But the bombings and mass shootings, acts of terrorism, make it quite a time in which we live. And some time it couldn't be better for a product that brings us all together. So don't you dare live in fear. We say whatever.
That was Go and Save the World by the incredible Mega Ran and Gay Murdoch.
Yeah, what a great track, man. I know you don't play so much of the Pokemon Go El Bandito, but absolutely.
I do not, but I totally understand the message. I think in a lot of ways it's exactly what the Power Hour of Love is all about. You know, the fact that with so much hate going on in the world today, you know, it would be nice to have something to bring us together, to have a little bit of love. You know, sit down, listen to this program together, go out there, play your Pokemon Go together. You know, there's so many things here in the information age, Facebook, you know, person-to-person game things online, MMOs. You know, all these things should be uniting us, and yet we're just as divided as ever. And, you know, I would love to see all that change, and I think we can all make that change to be more accepting of one another, more polite to one another. So, you know, say hi to someone today in the street that you wouldn't normally.
Absolutely, El Bandito. That's the thing, man. You know, individually, we can all make some pretty cool things, but when we all work together, like, really awesome things can happen. So, I definitely support all things like that, you know, from music to games, or like you said, just kind of talking to somebody on the street. And, you know, that reminds me, man, about 2 weeks ago now, I went to Sharky's in Fort Pierce. Our good friend Jamie Lee of Church Girls was putting on a show down there, so I wanted to check it out and see, you know, being that it's a newer venue and stuff. And it's a restaurant, you know, so on its normal business hours. So for the show, they cleared, you know, they picked up all the tables and stuff, and they had a nice little floor area, and that's where like the bands would play, and they had a bar set up and stuff. And so it was smaller, but it also had a very a tight, you know, vibe feel to it. You know, like it was like, it reminded me of like the days of playing in a band and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it had a lot of energy, and there was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
So it was really cool. And
well, that's good. So it was pretty packed.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say there's at least probably like 100 people inside. And mm-hmm. then there was people kind of hanging out on the outside, and you know, it was cool. And all the bands who played had really good energy. You know, the Pub Wreckers were there. KTM, which stands for Kill the Mic, that's Jamie's new band. They opened up the show, and they did a great job. But during the show, I got to meet with the lead singer of Sharptooth.
Awesome.
They're a new group coming out of Vero Beach. I've seen them. You know, I've seen their merchandise around town. People wearing the Sharptooth T-shirts, and okay. I've been like, man, I really need to check that out. And like I said, just on. I was there hanging out with Justin at Patches, and mm-hmm. We happened to come across Brian, the lead singer, and we were just talking to him. We said, hey, would you like to do an interview? So we got an interview here that I'd like to play.
Oh, yeah, let's absolutely hear it. It's been a while since we had a musical guest on the show, so let's jump right into it.
All right, here it is.
All right, and welcome to PodunkRadio.com, Justin McPatches. We're here at Sharky's up in the Fort Pierce, North Beach area. If you're not local, you don't know what it is, so it doesn't matter explaining it to you, especially since... this is probably in Germany now, so who fucking knows? I've been dealing a lot with Germany lately, so that's good. Anyway, hey, we're here in Florida. It's fucking hot out at night. I'm here with Charboil, and I'm here with Brian.
Yes, sir.
See, I got that right. Holy shit. From Sharptooth, which I heard a little bit earlier. My buddy David had you on YouTube, Facebook and YouTube and stuff. Awesome. A video that had like lyrics on it. So.
Yes.
So very loud, very fast, very hard. So I mean, a lot of people out there like that kind of thing. So what do you got to say?
Hey, Brian. Yeah, we definitely listen to some of Sharptooth, and you guys have been playing some shows down here. You're originally from Vero, correct?
Yes, I've been a vocal resident for quite some time now, and this has been kind of a new project as of late, and it's been something I've been very passionate about, and I love being a vocalist, and I love playing with the people are my best friends, so it's been quite the experience, and I couldn't be happier.
Well, let me tell you something, man. We actually did a Jim Rose show last month, and some guys came in wearing Sharptooth T-shirts, and we were like, man, that is an awesome T-shirt, man. Like, you know, and...
I was like, what the fuck's a Sharptooth?
Yeah.
Land Before Time.
Yes. But yeah, man, so you guys have been producing merchandise long?
We have... a couple T-shirts out. We have some stickers and stuff, and like we are
DIY.
Yeah, we've been kind of trying to have the whole production thing on the, you know, I wouldn't say on the down low, but we're doing everything ourselves, and I couldn't be happier being a part of the local scene, trying to get everything done to where people can, you know, kind of recognize where we're a band. You know, a lot of people don't recognize and see how local bands start. And where bands have that huge rise, and like we are just proud and very happy to like support the local scene and be a part of the whole area. And we are doing everything that we can to support any bands that we play with, and we are very happy to play any shows all around the area. So it's
a good attitude.
Yeah, and you know, we like the whole band is, we're all about positivity and trying to support the local scene, because it's been kind of dead for a while, and we're trying to relive it.
It's I wouldn't say it's been dead for a while. It comes and goes in spurts, but it wouldn't really be dead, because there's just a lot of people just don't know about the shows. I think it's part of the problems, or nobody's organizing things together so everybody can go together in a show instead of playing this day or that day. It's a whole thing.
And so of all the venues you guys have played, what has been your favorite so far?
Yeah. Honestly, I can't have a like favoritism type of attitude. Every show we play is going to always be our favorite show, if that makes sense. Like, we love playing out no matter where it is. It can be a hole in the wall, little bar. It could be a huge venue somewhere with thousands of people. It could be 10 people.
Sharptooth will be playing at the Chevron next week.
Yeah.
Fuck it, why not? Gas station.
At your local gas.
Hey, there's one right over there.
$2.50 per liter, right?
Cumberland Farms. We're going to be basting out of Cumbies later.
But, no, that's a great attitude, man. But have you seen it steadily rising, like, as far as, like, getting out to different areas, you know, aside from just maybe doing stuff up in Vero, kind of spreading your, you know, like you said, just, like, your radius on how many different places you've been playing?
Being a local resident of Vero Beach, the scene for where it is has been very kind of not productive when it comes to Vero. It's a lot of it has been Fort Pierce, PSL, Melbourne, Jensen. So we've been kind of going out of our, like, where we actually stay to actually play shows, and we could go miles and miles and miles. It doesn't matter. I love playing everywhere.
Awesome.
And it's a
beer.
It's more so a matter of fact that if we get offered a show, we'll do everything in 110% to go out and do our thing and make sure that it's all about having fun, showing people what we're about, and having people have a good time. And it's really hard sometimes when you live in a place that there aren't many possibilities to, but the minute we get the possibility to play out, we do it. So
yeah, to be fair, Vero, I know Vero very well. I used to live in Vero and work at Jack FM.
Okay.
So back in the day, there was like Cunningham's had more stuff. There was Filthy's and a couple other places. But most of those places either shut down or they changed. So the only real place in town to play is mostly the Stamp. So in your case, you guys would go further out, like down here, because there's more opportunities here than in Vero. I love Vero. I think it's a nice little small town, but there isn't shit going on as far as this kind of music.
Yeah.
As far as like punk rock and metal and that kind of stuff goes, there isn't a whole lot of that, you know, up there. But we're trying to make it as a whole area with Vero, Sebastian, of course, Fort Pierce, Port St. Lucie, Jensen Beach, Stewart. Is like, I count it as one area instead of individual cities, because that way it's all the same scene.
Well, definitely, Brian. Well, that's a great attitude to have, man. And it's, you know, from what I've heard so far, it sounds like you guys are really making your mark. And so what's the next show you guys have coming up after tonight?
The next show we have set up is on the 19th of the next month, so it would be August 19th,
yep.
And it will be at the Oceanside Pub in Jensen.
Oh, you know Oceanside.
Yeah, yes, cool, and man. It's actually a birthday party, and we're playing with a bunch of awesome bands,
very cool.
I'm super excited to play there, and I'm playing with some of my best friends, and I couldn't be more excited.
All right, that was me and Justin McPatches' interview with Brian from Sharptooth. I want to thank Brian again for taking some time out before their performance to have that interview with us. Brian did tell me off to the side that that was one of his first few interviews, so we're also honored to be able to do that with him, and we hope he listens in and enjoys it.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a real nice interview we had there, and we thanked him so much for taking the time.
If you haven't heard Sharptooth yet, you're going to get to hear some now. Here's their track, Dream Eater.
Buried underneath your jaw.
That was Dream Eater by Sharptooth.
Yes, Sharptooth out of Vero Beach, just up north.
Yeah, it's nice to have that kind of local talent hanging around. You know, I love the way he can really have that hardcore metal voice, and that has to be one of the hardest songs that we've played on here. But I like the way some words right before he breaks into it, he has like a real good singer's voice there for like half a beat, and then it's like, rah!
Yeah, it kind of switches between that melodic and then goes into the more
cool.
Hardcore.
It's a cool video for that, too. I like that, all the chainsaws, you know?
I was going to say, like, I know you're a big fan of typography and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I don't know if that exactly falls into...
Oh, totally, that kinetic typography, yeah. But, you know, we were talking about Jaws earlier, and then you talk about Sharptooth. I'm just thinking Sharktooth, but, you know, they have all the chainsaws in the video because they're talking about the sharp tooth of a chainsaw.
Absolutely.
Very cool. I get it.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, we definitely saw... you know, Sharptooth perform at Sharky's, and yeah, they are very much about moving around and, you know, being that it was, you know, like I said, there wasn't a stage. It really gave them the opportunity to like get into the crowd, and like, you know, these cats are moshing and I mean, you know, some of the people had beers in their hands and like people were getting their beer knocked out, but nobody really like was, you know, getting pissed or anything. They were just, everyone was so in the moment and just
having a good time.
Yeah, just rocking around. And of course, you know, the Pub Wreckers had just played. So of course they had the bongettes with them and they were feeding people beers and stuff. So I mean, everybody was feeling real good and had a good drink and stuff. But yeah, they have a really good stage presence too. And like I said, you can tell they really want people to get moving, having a good time. Mm-hmm. And as you heard in the interview, it sounds like Brian, they really want to, have everything be, you know, have a good time, you know?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I do want to clarify, that's the beer bongettes, right?
Yes, the beer bong.
Or anyone gets the wrong idea about what they're doing up there, Sharkies. But
absolutely. Yeah, it was a really good time. I was happy to see a good turnout. I was very happy for Jamie, putting on his first show there. And, you know, like I said, Jamie's definitely put on other shows before, but for a new venue, getting people out there, you know, having a great time. Sharptooth, Pub Wreckers, KTM, The Inverted. I believe that was everyone that was there that night. But yeah, everybody did a great job. Look forward to more shows at Sharky's and definitely hearing some more from Sharptooth.
Absolutely. Let's hope to hear from them soon.
Definitely. Well, I think that about wraps it up for the night, El Bandito.
That will about do it. We'll have to go out and catch some more movies, catch some more geekdom, and we'll be back at you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Things were going so great. What happened? Something must have happened.
It's not you. It's me.
Listen. I was thinking... we should break up or whatever.
I am breaking up with you.
Consider that a divorce.